Welcome to KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm your host, Alexandra Rangel. In this special episode, we're looking back at the stories of 2025 that shaped the Yuma community and drove meaningful change from a year of protests that took to the streets.
El pueblo jamás será vencido.
To new technological advancements in Yuma agriculture.
The fields that once depended solely on sweat and sunlight are now guided by sensors and satellites.
And community members stepping up to help feed neighbors in need.
We got some stovetop stuffing, chicken, tortillas, beans.
Those stories, plus a look at the most important stories in education, coming up on Arizona Edition. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. 2025 was a year when people took to the streets to make their voices heard. One of the largest demonstrations nationwide was the No Kings movement. Here in Yuma, community members gathered for several protests throughout the year. In February, residents took to the streets to speak out against deportations impacting the community. Victor Calderon has that story.
El pueblo jamás será vencido.
As reports, some false, continue around the country of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement raids of people in the country illegally, people from Yuma County gathered on Sunday to speak out against the fear in Latino and immigrant communities over the threat of mass deportations. They participated in a peaceful walk in solidarity against deportations. They held signs with messages including, "Fight ignorance, not immigrants," "Immigrants make America great," and "Criminals are in the White House, not in the fields." Giovanni Ramirez of San Luis led chants through a bullhorn at the corner of 4th Avenue and 16th Street. He said Latinos around the country were raising their voices against unfair immigration enforcement.
And the reason why I'm here is because I'm an immigrant and I'm against all the laws that Trump wants to have for us. You know what I'm saying? We all commit mistakes. I don't think it's fair like to deport everybody. It doesn't matter what. You know what I'm saying? There's different ways that the situation can be solved, you know? So I'm right here because I'm with my people, you know?
Sunday's gathering came together and was organized by Luisa Arreola of San Luis, Myra Valdovinos of Yuma, and Fada Rodriguez of Somerton. A post online before the event called for a, quote, peaceful walk in solidarity against deportations of our people, and calling on participants to, quote, be the voice of those who cannot speak. Arreola said,
"And the reason that I'm here is to support our immigrants, our people, and our community, because we are the majority in this country. We can't be afraid. We can't allow these tactics to scare us and not come out here. We are Latinos, we're the majority in this country. Don't be afraid."
Participants were of all ages. Lenisa Felix is a student at Yuma High School and said she walked for her friends, some of whom are undocumented.
I'm out here because I don't support Trump and because I simply just don't agree the way he's dealing with stuff. I'm here because I'm Mexican and I support Mexicans and I just don't think that this is right. I think we should be fighting for our rights and for everything else that's been happening in this world.
And what are you hearing students talking about on campus? Like again about what's going on with all the news?
I personally hear some people making fun of us. Like, I hear my friends that are scared. I hear people just talking about it, how they don't think that this is right.
For KAWC News, I'm Victor Calderon.
It was a big year for Yuma agriculture, as Yuma County launched a $6 million project to bring broadband internet to local farms.
So these are the controllers operating both drones. They pretty much fly themselves, but on here we can control what they're spraying, the amount, spacing, all the other stuff too.
Trevor Adams is a drone operator for JV Farms. This time of the year, he can often be found in the fields carrying large controllers used to pilot 200-pound, 9-foot-wide drones that spray fertilizer on crops. But there's one big challenge.
So a better signal would be a big thing, because a lot of times we're out in the fields that don't have signals and we need to relocate to be able to connect and be able to for the drones to fly. So we'll be using them on a daily basis.
That lack of connectivity is a problem Yuma County leaders have been focused on solving for years. And on Wednesday, that work reached a milestone with the unveiling of Yuma County's first ag tech wireless tower, marking a new era for Arizona agriculture, bringing high-speed internet directly to local farms.
Arizona's agriculture industry has been ingrained in who we are as a state and as a people.
Governor Katie Hobbs attended the tower dedication ceremony, where Yuma County supervisors recognized her role in helping secure $6 million in state funding for the Ag Tower project. Once it's fully operational, it will include 34 wireless towers that will be built across 160,000 acres of farmland in Yuma County.
The fields that once depended solely on sweat and sunlight are now guided by sensors and satellites.
The fiber optic network will allow farmers to connect their smart technology, everything from drones to soil sensors and self-driving machines and tractors. To support the further growth of ag tech in Arizona,
but I was really proud to sign these bills.
Governor Hobbs signed two agricultural bills into law, Senate Bill 1320 and Senate Bill 1661. The legislation supports the use of autonomous farm vehicles and establishes a broadband service district authority to oversee the ag network. As the first project of its kind, Hobbs says it represents a major step forward for the region.
Our investments in broadband, not just this project, but across the state with the BEAD program and other investments, our work on Colorado River water especially is critical. And it is about the livelihoods of people in this community, but it's also about feeding North America, especially during the winter months when Yuma is the salad bowl of North America. It's so critical.
The 34 ag tech towers are expected to be fully operational by the end of next year. Communities in Yuma also stepped up during the government shutdown in October to help feed people in need. Here's a story I worked on about a local church answering the call. Plus, reporter Cisco Stargazer highlights a school district that helped provide food to families.
For KAWC News, I'm Cisco Stargazer, Education Solutions reporter. The federal government shutdown has jeopardized food security for many. As the Trump administration has previously said, it may take anywhere from a few weeks to several months before SNAP benefits resume distribution. But in San Luis, Arizona, the Gadsden School District is stepping up for families in need. Since Saturday, the district has been distributing weekend lunches and snacks and will continue doing so during the shutdown. Community members on the east side of the county are also stepping up to support their neighbors in need. Civic engagement reporter Alexandra Rangel shares how a local church was able to gather donations to distribute dinner plates.
We got some stovetop stuffing, chicken, tortillas, beans.
With a car full of kids, Tanya Grant was all smiles. She was among the many drivers lined up at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church on Wednesday to pick up a free dinner plate.
We saw that they were giving away dinners, and with this time period the way it is and low incomes everywhere, and I'm a nursing student, so I just figured I'd reach out and maybe get four meals tonight. So
thank you. God bless. Come Sunday morning, 10:30.
That's Melody Eltridge Diaz. A member of the church, she greeted people as they drove into the church's parking lot.
We were looking for ways to help our community, and this was one of the things that we came up with, because who doesn't love to eat and who can't afford food right now?
What kind of stories are you hearing from maybe people in your community, people at church? Are they struggling?
Everybody's struggling, and I've been hearing a lot of that with just some of the people who have come through, and that they're trying to just make ends meet.
The church's pastor, Edgar Vergara Millan, says the church received donations from local grocery stores, church members, and the community.
Whole chicken, beans, tortillas, rice, salsa.
They handed out over 100 plates and over 40 bags filled with groceries. But the need was so big on Wednesday that some families left empty-handed.
But unfortunately, we're out of food. We've had to turn at least 20 families away, unfortunately. I was telling our volunteers that my heart is breaking, because we had a kind of three vehicles full of kids,
and a dog that we couldn't get food to today. You know, it's heartbreaking. And also I saw singles, you know, maybe people from the military community, older people, a good representation of our community.
And while this was the church's first food drive, it won't be the last.
We have been planning since a couple months to start a community garden, community food pantry, and to use our wonderful kitchen facilities for the community. We had to hurry that process up because of the need. Mm-hmm. And so we're wanting to do one of these community food drive-through distributions once a week throughout the month of November.
With the government shutdown now the longest in history, there's no telling when SNAP benefits will be fully funded again.
Good people of Yuma are helping, you know, their community.
For KAWC, I'm Alexandra Rangel. Later in the show, we'll take a look at some of the most important local education stories impacting students. Up next, reporter Victor Calderon takes us to Dia del Campesino, an annual event in December that shows appreciation to Yuma's farm workers.
Bueno, señoras y señores, en la edición número 31 del Día del Campesino.
Every year in December, social workers from throughout Yuma County gather in the cold darkness of the early morning in San Luis for the Día del Campesino Health Fair for farm workers. The event is a one-stop shop put on by Campesinos Sin Fronteras and several other local and state agencies. Farm workers can get a warm meal, blankets, health screenings, and some leave with a new bicycle. This year in ag is different. There have been reports of some farm workers in agricultural communities afraid to go to work because of increased immigration enforcement. Yuma County ag leaders say the majority of workers here are legal workers with H-2A visas. Some farm workers KAWC spoke with early Friday morning said they are not directly afraid of immigration raids in Yuma County fields, but some said they are mindful and they have noticed fewer workers. Ana Lilia Benyunyure is 50 years old. She said she's been working in ag for more than half her life.
Sí, hace falta mucha gente, no vienen completas, pues. Y estamos trabajando hasta los domingos, por lo mismo que se está trazando el campo, en los desayques y las limpias. Se está trabajando hasta los domingos. Pues trabajar hasta 10 horas, 7 días a la semana, pues está pesado.
Ana Lilia said, "We are without some people in the fields. We work on Sundays because there are fewer workers. So sometimes we can be working 7 days a week." Emma Torres is the director of Campesinos Sin Fronteras. She has long said farm workers in Yuma County are mostly in the H-2A visa program that allows them to work in ag. Torres has said she is concerned with ICE raids in other ag communities, including Ventura County and Salinas in California. But she's not hearing any concerns locally.
Well, just a lot of excitement. People are very grateful, thankful for, you know, the services that are provided here. When at the very entrance of the gate, when we opened today at 1:30, people would just come in and say thank you. And I think that's they know why we're doing this event, and that's what we try to do. You know, just have them. Feel appreciated, you know, that we do this because every year, this is our 31st year, that we do this because we really care about their health and we want to make sure that we contribute a little bit.
How many farm workers are you expecting to go through today?
Well, it's usually we expect anything between 3,500 to 5,000. That's usually what we, and now you can see the crowd, you know, since 1:30 it stays like this for a few hours, so we know that that's usually the number we get.
Ramon Mateo was the first farm worker in line before the Día del Campesino event opened.
Pues un poco por tanto que se habla por parte del presidente, pues de todas las cosas que le tira a uno como hispano, pero pues en fin, a ver qué pasa. Pues es lo bien que tiene, que dan muchos servicios, aparte de las cositas que le regalan a uno, le dan buenos servicios a uno.
He said, yes, you hear things, especially with this president, but we'll see what happens. Here at this event, they offer great services for us. In addition to the goodies they have, they treat us well. For KAWC News, in San Luis, I'm Victor Calderon.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
I'm Cisco Stargazer for Arizona Edition. This last year, education took a lot of big hits in the way of funding. Programs such as Arizona Western College's College Assistance Migrant Program and Trio Keys came under risk. But one of the biggest stories took place in the summer of 2025. The U.S. Department of Education notified schools it would be withholding funds for specific title programs indefinitely while a review was underway. Some of the biggest affected programs included migrant education, after-school programs, and professional development for teachers. Arizona Schools Chief Tom Horn suggested this impact was minimal in a video published by the Arizona Department of Education in July. Have a listen.
And in the grand scheme of things, we are talking about a fairly small amount of money in federal terms.
Yes. First of all, most schools have money that they'd already gotten that they hadn't spent yet in these particular areas, and they can spend it in some cases until September of 2026. If they don't have it, they can adjust their budgets, because we're talking about less than 1% of the school's budgets.
As part of our coverage, we followed up with several school districts in July about how Horn's comments lined up with their reality. At District 1, the largest elementary district in the Yuma La Paz regions, Superintendent Dennis Ponder stated that the total impounded funds, including 21st century grants, make up between 4-5% of the district's budget.
So 1% is a little low. That may be an average throughout the state. I'm not sure. But for us individually, it would represent a little bit larger amount of money that we would have to absorb within our budget if we were to say we're going to take all the programs, all the everything that's currently funded through those grants and absorb them somehow into our budget. That would be somewhere between 4-5% for us. So a decent chunk of money, you know, something to consider and think about getting that relief. At least the before and after school program money released was really awesome for us. I haven't seen exactly when or how that's going to play out yet, but, you know, we know that that's coming.
For smaller districts especially, every cent counts. Welton Elementary School District Superintendent and Principal Lisa Jamison told us that her district needs the funds currently being withheld by the Trump administration to fill positions.
Right now, we have increasing enrollment. And I really need to hire two teachers. You know, I have instructional aides, but trying to get teachers to come out to Welton, it's been difficult. We've raised our salary schedule and everything. So when they say it's not a lot of money, it is a lot of money to us. It makes a difference, you know, whether it's in terms of being able to attract the science teacher, because we have these microscopes and we have a science room, which, by the way, we don't. But it just helps provide the extras. So when you take away, you know, essentially $40,000, you know, you have impacted us because we were depending on that. And with budgets, you always plan in advance. And, you know, when all of this was happening, I was skeptical. So I made sure we were as frugal as possible. But it's just disappointing. Teachers work so hard, and to not have public schools funded the way they need to be. I think education is so important because it's our future. Right now, it's just so frustrating. I really need an additional person. I need two. And not able to get them at this time.
Later, when we covered kids going back to school in August, we got to ask Ronald Reagan Elementary Principal Tom Fletcher what he observed. By this point, the government announced it would be releasing all of the funds, but the schools didn't see that money right away.
So we did our summer school, and that was fine. That was the first part of June. Well, then the freeze came, and so we still had Kinder Jump Start. And so now we cut it back this year. It was only 2 days. But I still have to pay a staff to come in. Sure. The parents are expecting to come for that with their kinders. And so I still haven't paid some people because we're still waiting for, sure, he's unfrozen it, but we're still waiting for the go ahead to, okay, go ahead and put in the timesheets. But yeah, so the teachers were looking at me like, what's going to happen? When am I going to get paid? What can you pay me out of? And I'm just like, hold on. Eventually they'll get released, hopefully. We just have to wait.
Impacts from delayed funding aren't unique to Fletcher School or district either.
But I know some people, not anybody on my campus, but I know in another district, I had talked to a staff member who lost their job because there were budget cuts. Because they asked me if I had an opening, and I'm like, no, I'm full, sorry. So I know it does affect everyone. And you think, oh, we're here in Yuma. It's not going to happen to us. And so it was very real. We lived through it.
In higher ed, some of the biggest news broke in December. The Arizona Board of Regents visited Yuma on December 4th to cut the ribbon on the state's first rural regional medical school branch. It also passed a special research grant, launching the Arizona Hub for Agriculture Innovation. The three-year grant will bring together ASU, NAU, and the U of A.
Yuma was the right place to do it. Ag is the right place to do it. You knew exactly what you needed. You knew how to use us. You had trusted relationships with us. This is everything we've set out to do in Regents grants.
As Regent Fred Duval noted, the grant will be centered in Yuma and aims to transform ag research into industry-ready solutions for farmers statewide. And closing out the year, we learned that the AWC District Governing Board has selected Dr. Ritika Dewan as the next college president.
I feel thankful for the trust that has been placed in me, and I take this responsibility very seriously. I look forward to working together with our students, faculty, staff, and community to support opportunity, growth, and success for everyone we serve in this community.
Yuma and La Paz, this has been some of the best of 2025. We hope you'll stay tuned as we continue covering your news this 2026. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information, or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app, and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.